Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of Real People, and this one is titled Food Lover. You had me at fondue. Restaurateur Jeff Lawler was single at 50, and then Darla walked into his cafe. Darla Lawler, Nancy, a good friend in Columbus, Ohio, had worked at Jeff's fondue restaurant in Chicago, and she was always telling me what a special place it was. Jeff, it's a European sort of wine cellar with amber lighting. We're considered one of the most romantic restaurants in Chicago. Darla, when my teenage daughter and I traveled to Chicago in 2012, Nancy called Jeff and made us a reservation at the restaurant. Throughout our dinner, Jeff would come by and check on us and chat. At the end of the evening, when we went to leave, he gave me a big hug and said, "Here's a hug for Nancy," but I pretended the hug was for me. Jeff, I was 50 years old, and I had never been married. I hadn't met the right person, but I believed it would happen. The founder of the restaurant, John Davis, didn't marry till he was 55. Darla, nothing happened right away because we were both in relationships. But a year later, we were both free, and Nancy found out. I had been intrigued by Jeff. She called him and got the ball rolling. None of this would have happened without her. Jeff and I started texting and talking and emailing, and eventually he asked me if he could take me out to lunch for my birthday. I thought he meant in Chicago, but no, he flew to Columbus. The meal lasted 5 hours. I barely got him back to the airport in time for his flight home. Jeff, I'm a romantic guy, and I knew Darla was a special lady, so things progressed from there. And when both of her daughters were accepted into colleges in Chicago in 2015, I asked them to move here as a family. Darla, so I sold my house and we moved that June. He made me wait for the proposal, though. Jeff, I kept telling her I wasn't ready. Part of it was that she had a ring of her father's that she wanted to use for the stones in her engagement ring. I secretly removed the diamonds and replaced them with cubic zirconia while I had a ring designed. That December, we planned a family dinner at the restaurant on a night it was closed. In my 22 years there, I had personally orchestrated over 500 couples getting engaged. But when it came to my own proposal, I didn't realize how anxious I would be. I was hot. As I went behind the bar to get a bottle of champagne, I accidentally broke a bunch of glasses because I was so nervous and excited. Darla, I was like, "What is going on with you? Take your jacket off. You're sweating." He's like, "Nope, I'm fine. Jeff, then I went to one knee in front of Darla. Darla, of course I said yes. Jeff, they say you'll know when you know, and that's how it was for me. Maybe it seems like there were some delays, but for me, it was perfect timing. Jeff Lawler, now 59, and Darla Lawler, 55, married in 2018. Together, they own and operate Gage's Cafe in Chicago's Lincoln Park neighborhood. And now, speaking of food, there's an article in this AARP, the magazine, A Whole Body Reset in Just 6 Steps. So we may not get to all 6 today, but let's get started. This is an exclusive book excerpt. When we think of cognitive decline, we tend to think of it as an inevitable result of aging, a genetic ticker that sooner or later gets punched. But if we think of Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia as simply a natural byproduct of aging, we fail to see how much impact our choices today can make on our brains tomorrow. As one of the biggest life choices we make several times a day, is the choice of what to eat. As the health editor for AARP, the magazine, I was recently tasked with researching the links between nutrition and health in older Americans. After months of digging into up-to-the-minute science with a focus on research conducted on people our age, I created a program to boost later life health and stave off muscle loss, which is especially important for people over 50. Now that research has been collected in the Whole Body Reset, a program made specifically for older people. And let's take a side look just a minute here at this book. What's in the book? It includes scores of recipes and snack suggestions, a guide to dining out, a 10-day jumpstart plan, a fitness plan that requires no equipment. You can order it at aarp.org/wholebodyreset or at your favorite bookstore or online store. Again, that's whole, wholebodyreset. It's by Stephen Perrine, P-E-R-R-I-N-E. Now back to the article. Although much of the program centers on weight control, what I found is that these new eating habits, such as protein timing, eating protein in the proper amounts throughout the day, can benefit older people in other ways, including brain health. Understanding the interaction between nutrition and brain function is crucial as we age, Gene Wu, a member of the Global Council on Brain Health, told me. Wu is the Henry G. Leong Research Professor Emeritus of Gerontology and Geriatrics and Director of the Center for Nutritional Studies at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. Eating for a healthy brain. Those of you who have lost loved ones to dementia and who quite reasonably worry about the same fate understand how painful the loss of brain power can be, both to the sufferer and to those around them. And diet experts have concluded is one of the most powerful drivers of brain health. The Global Council on Brain Health, an international collaborative of scientists and health experts convened by AARP, found that among people 50 and older, 3/4 of those who said they ate well 5 to 7 times a week reported their brain health and mental sharpness as excellent or very good. Of those who said they rarely or never ate healthy, only 38% reported their brain health as high. And here's the best news. It's never too late to start eating a healthy diet. Improvements in your diet can help your brain health and lower your risks of cognitive decline whenever you decide to start, said Sarah Lentz Locke, executive director of the Global Council on Brain Health. The secret to the program behind the Whole Body Reset is to identify the nutrients in your that your body needs more of and find simple, delicious ways to fit more of them into your day. That's what this book can do for you. Eating for a healthy body. By seizing control of your food and your weight, you automatically seize more control over not only your brain health, but the health of your whole body as well. Here are just some of the ways the Whole Body Reset can empower you to live longer, healthier, and better. You'll help protect yourself from colds, flu, and coronaviruses. Among 5,700 patients who were hospitalized for the coronavirus in the spring of 2020 in the New York City area, 30% had diabetes. That's 34%, actually. 42% were obese, and 57% had high blood pressure. All three of these conditions are linked to chronic inflammation. The Whole Body Reset reduces inflammation in several ways, including loading you up with nutrients that keep your immune system balanced. You'll protect yourself from heart disease and stroke. The foods in the Whole Body Reset have been linked to an improved cholesterol profile and healthier arteries, in part because these meals are fiber-rich. One review of studies found that for every additional 10 grams of fiber you eat per day, you reduce your risk of stroke by 12%. You'll maintain mobility and reduce your risk of falls. By bringing your weight back under control, you will significantly reduce your risk of joint pain. And by improving your overall health through both diet and exercise, you'll take back control of your gait, your balance, and your life. Now we're getting into how to do this in just 6 steps. Maintain health at age 70 plus with a science-backed plan. Now, I'm not sure we'll be able to get to all of them today, but let's give it a start. Reset button number 1, eat 25 to 30 grams of quality protein at each meal. The typical American diet looks like a tiny bit of protein at breakfast, milk in your cereal, maybe an egg or two, a bit more at lunch, a turkey sandwich perhaps, and then a huge infusion of protein, a steak or a couple of pork chops, at dinner. All told, we may consume an average of about 90 grams of protein a day, which is roughly what we need. But about two-thirds of that typically comes at dinner time. Our bodies need 25 to 30 grams of protein, generally 25 grams for women, 30 for men, at each meal to keep the process of protein biosynthesis cranking along. Overeating protein at dinner doesn't help. Our bodies may only be able to use about 30 grams of protein at a time when at rest. Top foods for this: fish and shellfish, eggs in moderation, poultry, lean meat, combinations of grains and legumes that supply complete proteins, and protein shakes. Reset button number 2. Enjoy fortified dairy foods 2 to 3 times a day. Yes, you would like cheese on that. And whipped cream? Go for it. As a complete protein source, dairy is hard to beat. And as we age, the benefits of milk, cheese, yogurt, and other forms of dairy only multiply. That's due in part to dairy's protein punch. It's particularly high in an essential muscle-building compound called leucine. But dairy delivers many other nutrients, particularly calcium, magnesium, and vitamin D, all nutrients that our bodies have difficulty absorbing from food as we age, and all of which helps to keep us healthy and strong. In one study of older women, consumption of more milk, yogurt, and cheese was associated with greater muscle mass as well as greater grip strength. Top foods for this category: milk, yogurt, kefir, fortified with vitamin D, cheese, cottage cheese, and whey-based protein smoothies. Number 3, eat colorful vegetables and fruits at meals and for snacks. Oh, sure, you knew this part was coming, right? But for good reason. Any health eating plan that doesn't include heaping portions of produce should immediately be filed away as a snake oil cure. While all vegetables are good for you, assuming they're not coated with breading or deep fried in oil, it helps to think of dark leafy greens as the alpha veggies. Each day should include at least one helping, a small side salad, or a half cup serving of cooked green vegetables, ensuring that you have a dietary source of the B vitamin folate. Folate also plays a crucial role in battling dementia, hearing loss, and depression in mature adults. In a study of postmenopausal women, those who were overweight averaged 12 less folate in their blood than normal weight women. Those who were obese had 22% less. Top foods in this category: all colorful vegetables and fruits, but especially dark leafy greens, lettuce, spinach, and kale, cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, arugula, cabbage, collards, watercress, red and orange veggies, carrots, squash, red peppers, tomatoes, berries, tree fruits such as apples, pears, cherries, and citrus fruits, oranges, grapefruit, lemons, and limes. Number 4, aim for at least 5 grams of fiber at each meal. Chances are you don't eat enough fiber. In fact, the average American eats only about 15 grams of fiber a day. That's about the amount you would find in any one of these: a cup of black beans, 2 cups of bran flakes, 3 oat bran muffins, 5 bananas, 10 carrots, and 13 cups of popcorn. That may seem like a lot of fiber, but it's not. In fact, it's only about half of what the experts believe we need to eat daily to ensure good health. Top foods in this category: whole wheat pasta, bread, tortillas, and crackers, oats, brown rice, quinoa, kasha, barley, beans, lentils, vegetables such as potatoes with the skins on, Brussels sprouts, peas, broccoli, and corn, and fruits, especially berries and tree fruits such as apples and pears. So we're going to go ahead and finish these up today. Reset button number 5, enjoy more healthy fats. If you've been trying to improve your health by eating less fat, we have a word of advice. Stop. In fact, there are 3 types of fats. Healthy fats that you should be enjoying more of. 1. Omega-3 fatty acids. These healthy fats, which are found in salmon, mackerel, sardines, and tuna, have been shown to play a role in promoting muscle preservation, important for older adults. Fruit and nut oils. Olive oil is the go-to here. Studies have shown that extra virgin olive oil may reduce dementia risk by flushing out the proteins that gum up communication channels between brain cells. And 3, dairy fats. Full fat dairy has been linked to a reduced risk of obesity. That may be partly because satisfying creamy fats reduce the desire to snack later on. Top foods in this category: seafood, oils, olive safflower, peanut, sesame, nuts, seeds, avocados, and olives. And finally, number 6, don't drink your calories or chemicals. Soda, sweetened iced teas, especially coffee drinks, sports drinks, and oversized smoothies and shakes can be loaded with sugar. Also, avoid diet sodas, which have been linked to higher risk of heart disease, dementia, and stroke. They may also hurt your microbiome, which provides a defense against infection and helps us absorb nutrients from food. Top calorie-free drinks: water, still or sparkling, unsweetened tea, and coffee. Now, we're about to end up our journey through prevention, finding your calm. We just have 1 or 2 more articles, so let's read just a little bit of this now. Are you nice to you? Don't build self-esteem. Work on self-compassion. You messed up at work, had yet another argument with your partner, and caught a glimpse of yourself in a store window and were shocked by how old and tired and frighteningly like Dame Edna you looked. What's the best route out of the depths of self-recrimination and despair and back to happy land? For starters, stop beating yourself up so much, suggests Christian Neff, Ph.D., an associate professor in human development and culture at the University of Texas at Austin. Instead of taking a cold, stiff upper lip approach in tough times, practice self-kindness for soothing comfort and happiness. Don't embark on a mission to build self-esteem, however. That'll just backfire. Focus on self-esteem means that underneath it all, you think you're not okay just as you are. That's not going to make you happy, said Neff, who is the author of Self-Compassion, Stop Beating Yourself Up and Leave Insecurity Behind. So what will work? Being your own best friend. In 10 years, a lot of research has revealed that being good to your imperfect, all-too-human self creates lasting, measurable happiness, Neff explains. Women are very skilled at showing compassion toward children, partners, and friends, but they tend to be stingy with kindness when it comes to themselves, she says, adding, a lot of women worry that being self-compassionate will make them lazy. In fact, it's just the opposite. Self-compassion helps you stick with healthy habits, work harder to reach your goals, and even improves your closest relationships. So let's rate your NQ. Rate your inner nastiness quotient with Neff's self-compassion test. This gives you a taste of where you stand in terms of self-kindness, awareness of your inner critic, and realization that you're not the only imperfect person on the planet. For each of the 3 statements, rate how often you behave this way on a scale of 1, almost never, to 5, almost always. So got a pencil and paper? Here we go. When I'm in emotional pain, I try to be loving toward myself. When I'm feeling low, I try to approach my feelings with curiosity and openness. When I'm down and out, I remind myself that lots of other people in the world feel like I do. The closer your overall score is to 15, the more you're practicing self-compassion. The closer it is to 3, the more you will benefit from the following 2 exercises. 1. Write yourself a short, kind letter every day for 1 week. Think about something that's bothering you. Spend 5 to 15 minutes writing about it in the same way you would support a friend. In a 2010 study from Toronto's York University, people who did experienced less depression for 3 months and greater happiness for 6 months. Then, befriend your inner critic, paying attention to your self-talk. Don't berate your critic. Thank her for trying to help and explain that she's causing distress. Swap critical messages for supportive ones. Nix, ugh, you ate all the cookies again. Change it to, you ate the whole bag because you're stressed. How about a walk instead? Study shows that self-compassion can help you avoid overeating. Stick with an exercise routine and work harder after a setback. Now let's jump back to AARP, the magazine, Real People, Intrepid Educator, The Roving Art Teacher. Jennifer Williams brings creativity to isolated children in the rural Northwest. When I first started working as an art teacher in 1972, my class was where they put the kids no one knew what to do with, the ones with mohawks or tattoos, the ones who were sleeping in their cars. Sometimes the art room was where we did art. Other times it was where we figured out their lives. For many years, I lived in rural Idaho, and a lot of my students came from towns an hour or more away. A few had attended a one-room schoolhouse in a tiny place called Prairie, where there was no art teacher, no supplies. And these kids asked me if we could bring art to the younger kids in their town. So I arranged to take a day off, put my students in my van, pack lunches and art supplies, and go to Prairie. After miles of wilderness, we pulled up to the schoolhouse. Little kids ran out to hug us. My students, rarely seen as anything to anybody, became kings and queens. Everybody started making art and engaging with one another. It was magical. That gave rise to Project Van Gogh, the mobile art school I've been running for 45 years. We visit these remote schoolhouses and bring a full day of art lessons for free. When I was still working for the school system, my students and I might take 24 trips like that per year. Now that I'm retired, I probably do 2 to 4 trips a year. Since I don't have high school students, I do it with 3 former students of mine who have become art teachers themselves. We've been to almost every small one-room schoolhouse in Idaho and some in Nevada. It's always hard to leave a school. The children appreciate the lessons so much, and that appreciation always meant so much to the students who accompanied me. I've had people contact me and ask how to start something like this. Well, it's a lot of work. Packing supplies for one of these trips is like packing a family of 6 for a week-long vacation. And schools are so different now. You can't just put public high school kids in a van and take them for 2 days without release forms, without insurance. Everybody's afraid of what might happen, instead of being excited about what might happen. I still stay in touch with a lot of my former students. Many of them were those kids who would show up at the classroom door with some big life crisis going on, and now they're doing really well. Some of my proudest moments are when I look back at who these students were and who they are now. And this story was as told to Brennan Jensen by Jennifer Foreman DeGrassi Williams, who's 75, former or founder of Mobile Art School Project Van Gogh, and she was inducted into the National Teachers Hall of Fame in 2016. And I'd like to tell you about a picture with this article, because it's just so sweet. She's standing at the door at the first schoolhouse to which she brought art lessons. So it's a red brick schoolhouse with white trim. The sign at the top says Prairie School, and she's leaning against the door. She has on a white shirt, with a blue apron and a handprint in paint on the front of the apron, and she has a big smile on her face. And finally, blue collar by day, red carpet by night. Immigrants Tafa Beshko and Bujar Alamani work service jobs to support their families and fund their award-winning films. Bujar Alamani, we graduated from university in 1992. Democracy had started in Albania, but it's a poor country, scarred by depression and repression. Tefta, leaving was our best hope for a life free from state interference, but only the old regime's communist fathers could get visas. Bujar, I decided to walk to Albania's border with Greece and cross it. Tefta, for 8 days, Bujar climbed mountains and crossed rivers. Once he was settled in Greece, I joined him. Our daughter, Savina, was born there a few years later. Bujar, we started making short films, then features. I write and direct. Tefla handles the production. Our work has won many awards. Albania chose my first feature, Amnistia, as its entry for the 2012 Oscars. Tefta, when the Museum of Modern Art in New York City invited Bujar for the film's first North American premiere, Bujar, Tefta and Savina stayed behind in Greece, but I discovered I could qualify for a green card, and they were able to join me in the Bronx. Since then, two of my other films, Chrome for December 2017 and Deklagacioni for 2020, were Albania's official Oscar submissions. Tefta, I work as a cashier at a local supermarket. Bujar often works construction 8 hours a day, and at night we work on our films. When at a job site, if I were to say that three of my films had been put up for Academy Awards, it would probably sound like a joke, Bujar said. Tefta, I sometimes mention to my coworkers that I'm a film producer, and they laugh. They don't believe it. Bujar, we don't get paid much for our film work. Nearly every dollar we earn or raise goes into pay our actors, crews, and expenses. Tefta, we've made a lot of emotional films, but I never wept on a set until last July. That's when we filmed a gathering on Long Island for 12 women who grew up in an internment camp during Albania's communist era. If not for Bujar, who would document the abuse of power that left those lasting scars? Bujar, I must document these memories. I am an artist, and I must complete my mission. My mission is to tell not just the story, but the whole truth. This article was as told to Barbara Finkelstein. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.